the drive. Apollo's horses charged upwards, pawing the air. All was well. They knew what they were doing. They reached a certain height, leveled out, and charged forwards. This was easy. Phaeton pulled himself upright, careful not to strain the traces, and looked around. He could see the curve that marked the separation of blue sky and star-filled darkness. He could see the effect of the light blazing out from the chariot. He was insulated, somehow magically safe from its heat and its glare, but great clouds melted and fizzed into vapour as they approached. He looked down and saw the long shadows of mountains and trees contract as they flew forwards. He saw the wrinkled sea send back a million scintillations of light, and he saw the sparkle of dew rising into a shimmering mist as they neared the coast of Africa. Somewhere, just west of Nilus, Epiphus would be holidaying on the beach. Oh, this was going to be the greatest triumph ever. As the coastline swung more clearly into view, Phaeton pulled at the reins, trying to nose down Eon, the lead horse on his left-hand side. Eon had perhaps been thinking of other things, of golden straw or pretty mares. He had certainly not been imagining a tug to pull him off course. In a panic, he shied and dived, pulling the other horses with him. The chariot bucked in the air and plummeted straight for the earth. In vain, Phaeton tugged the reins, which had somehow become tangled in his hands. The green earth screamed towards him, and he saw his certain death. He took one final desperate yank at the reins, and at the very last minute, either in response to that pull or as an instinctive move to save themselves, the four steeds swooped upwards and galloped blindly north. But not before Phaeton saw with terror and dismay that the terrible heat of the sun chariot had set the earth on fire. As they flew on, a raging curtain of flame swept across the land below, burning everything and everyone upon it to a crisp. The whole strip of Africa below the northern coast was laid waste. To this day, most of the land is a great parched desert, which we call the Sahara, but which to the Greeks was the land that Phaeton scorched. He was now terribly out of control. The horses knew for certain that the familiar firm hand of Apollo was not there to guide them. Was it wild joy at their freedom or panic at the lack of control that maddened the four? Having plunged down close enough to make the earth catch fire, now they leapt up so far towards the purple curve that separated the sky from the stars that the world below grew cold and dark. The sea itself froze, and the land turned to ice. Thrashing, swaying, swooping, and careering onwards without any control or sense of direction, the chariot bounced and bucketed in the air like a leaf in a storm. Far below, the people of the earth looked up in wonder and alarm. Phaeton was screaming at the horses, begging them, threatening them, jerking at the reins, but all in vain.